Well, hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, let me introduce you to Jasmine Tirani. And Jasmine is going to teach us how to think ourselves thin. Jasmine is a psychotherapist who helps high achievers to be successful in their personal lives. And she has two master's degrees from Columbia University. She invented something called life therapy, which we're going to learn about. This is a revolutionary method that combines psychotherapy and coaching, as well as mindfulness and meditation. She does a virtual private practice since 2007, and she helps those of us high achievers, like myself, to be successful in their home lives. Whether you're struggling with relationships, anxiety, confidence, body image, or parenting, Jasmine's helping people out there to create loved-filled and satisfying personal lives. And I thought it would be amazing for us to talk to her today because she's really big on the idea that when you master your feelings, you master your life. So welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. And you're located, where are you located right now? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get started with life therapy?
Currently, I'm located in Miami, but the majority of the clients that I see are in the Northeast, I'm in California as well, because I have a virtual private practice. So I see all my clients via phone or Zoom.
That's the best kind of practice to have. I wish I could do that.
You only have to get dressed and wake up.
You have to drag yourself out of bed every morning. did you always know that you wanted to start your own private business?
I didn't always know, but once I became a therapist, I did know.
And so what made you go into being a therapist? Are you really good at giving advice? Were you always the person that the friends turned to for life advice?
That was always me. I think that, you know, inherently I've always been a giver by nature, and I've always been most interested in the inner experience. You know, my friends when I was a kid used to jokingly ask me or like poke fun at me because I'd always ask people what they were thinking. And I've always been curious to know what goes on in people's inner worlds, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And I think it was because I think and feel so much, and I realized how little of it I was probably sharing. And so I guess I was curious if other people were withholding too. I didn't want to feel alone.
Tell me a little bit about what is life therapy and how do I think myself thin?
Well, so there's two different things. Life therapy is the modality that I invented, which is essentially a combination of traditional psychotherapy and coaching with more Eastern practices like mindfulness and meditation. So I combine kind of East and West and have a lot of different tools in my toolbox to be able to help people really dig deep and figure out what's going on inside of them. That's kind of the therapy part, is the understanding part. And then the coaching part is having some goals and some intentions and results. And then the Eastern spiritual practices is more how to really get aligned with your truest, deepest voice and make sure that you're manifesting what it is that you truly need in your life.
So I really truly believe that the mind has so much power over our bodies. And I know that you've probably seen this in your practice too, but I know that when my patients are stressed, their skin doesn't look good. And when you're under a lot of anxiety and stress, you like actually look older. And I've seen this so often where someone can go through a grieving period or have a funeral or a major family crisis and they look literally 10 years younger when you see them. They look 10 years older when you see them. And I just think that the brain has an immense amount of power over our health.
For sure. And I think that in our society, we are very ill-equipped to be able to deal. And you're talking about your brain, but I'm also talking about the feelings. We're so ill-equipped to be able to handle our pain and our uncomfortable feelings and our anxiety and our stress. You know, that's the one thing in life, is that we all have feelings, but yet we are not taught, unless you have grew up in a super highly conscious home, there's a high likelihood that you weren't taught how to handle them properly. And when we don't handle them properly, it comes out in all of these other ways. Like you said, somatically in your skin, people have physical ailments, they get sick, but then there's the drinking and then there's the eating and then there's the shopping or the screen time or all these kind of ways that we either self-medicate or distract so that we don't actually have to deal with the discomfort that we experience inside of us.
That's very true. In this day and age, like, the screen time is the thing that, number one, is like, it's a welcome distraction. And I think we all need that little escapism. But it's also a way to not buckle down and do the work you need to do and do, you know, the thinking process of working through your feelings. But what kind of advice do you have for people to get off their screen and get into their heads?
Well, I think it's not necessarily get off the screen, and it's a connection to your body. And so I kind of differentiate between your mind and then your heart and your soul. And those are kind of these three different components. And then there's the body, right? There's the four. So these four different components that are all interconnected, that sometimes we hang out more comfortably in some spaces than others, right? So some people are more inclined to want to solve things with their thoughts, or want to solve their feelings with their thoughts. Whereas if you're feeling something, you need to go straight to the source of an anxiety or a stress or whatever, how it actually is presenting in your body. Is your heartbeat fast? Is your breath short? You feel like crying? You know, there's a lot of physical sensations that are accompanied with our feelings, that staring at a screen just kind of disconnects us from that and keeps us in our head, when essentially we need to be connecting more.
Are there any good apps that you like for meditation? I've heard of some of my clients using Headspace. And do you have any technology tools that help people to become centered?
An app called Insight Timer. It's kind of like Yelp for meditation, where everybody uploads, you know, people who create guided meditations, and they upload all their guided meditations and people rate them. So you can go on and say, I want to have 5 minutes to meditate, and I want to meditate on gratitude or anxiety or stress or eating or whatever it is that you want to meditate on, or 20 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever. You put in your credentials, and then it shows up all the different meditation options that are there, and they all have ratings and reviews and what have you. I actually have a few meditations as well.
That is great. And tell me about this concept of think yourself thin.
Okay. So essentially a large portion of my clients are, like you said, high achievers, people who are really achievement focused, professionals, have been super successful in their business part of their life, but the personal part of their life is often lacking. And it's because they're such mind oriented people and go, 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 do, do, do. And I think a lot of results and achievements are based in our ability to not lead with our heart, right? You're really leading with your mind. It doesn't really matter how you feel. You just got to get it done, right? But as a result, there's a big disconnect from what it is that we're feeling a lot of times, because it doesn't, quote, matter when you're trying to achieve something. But unfortunately, what ends up happening is that there's a lot of mindless eating or other coping mechanisms to deal with the feelings that aren't being dealt with. And so the idea of think yourself thin is, I have clients who've lost up to 50 pounds by simply changing the way that they think and changing their approach to eating. So if you'd like, I could kind of give you a play-by-play as to what are specific shifts that they've done that actually start transitioning their whole relationship to food, and then the weight just starts to fall off.
Yeah, for sure. Give us like the top three things that our followers and listeners can do to start changing their relationship with food.
Well, so I'm going to start with my own relationship with food, is that, you know, I call myself a recovering perfectionist. I used to wake up every morning and like pinch my belly fat, and there was a voice in my head that said, you're fat. Mm-hmm. And throughout my life, there was a you're fat voice that would start talking. Uh-huh. And are you familiar with that voice?
I have that voice. Every time I go try things on at the store, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to buy any clothes till I lose weight.
Right? So, and mine was always, you're fat, you have to lose 5 pounds. And I've never been fat, but it was always that voice of you're fat, right? Mm-hmm. And so the first thing to start realizing is start noticing that voice, the you're fat voice, or the you need to lose 5 pounds voice, or that's not good enough, or you're ugly, or your skin is bad, or whatever like the negative voice is that's in your head, is just start to be aware of it. Because the truth of the matter is regardless of whether or not it's true, it could be saying your hair is brown. Like, it could be true. Like, maybe you could lose 30 pounds. Like, fine. But the truth of the matter is if that voice is mean to you and it's judging you and it's critical of you, that's not the voice that you want leading. And that's not the voice that's going to heal you or take care of you. That's the voice that thinks that being mean to you is going to motivate you to do something different. Mm-hmm. And so what would happen with my "you're fat" voice was like, you can't eat that. You must exercise. Like, there was a lot of restricting and rules that that voice would create in my head. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, well, and then there was like all of these negotiations. Well, you can't eat this. And then I wouldn't eat this. And then I would I got in a cycle of restricting eating and then over exercising as a result of, then I would restrict and then I would binge and then I would over exercise to overcome.
And then you're not even enjoying your binging. It's like, at least enjoy the food that you're wanting to have.
Of course, because it's so mindless, right? Because you're binging because you're like trying to sneak the food and trick yourself to think that you're not eating it because you're not paying attention to it, you know? But it's still going in there. And then you feel bad about it. And when you feel bad, the voice gets louder. And when the voice gets louder, then the cycle continues.
Right.
Right? Now, so the way to start getting out of it is to start realizing that, first of all, you're noting that self-hate voice and starting to learn not to listen to it, which is saying, like, I see you, but I'm not listening to you. I love you, but I'm not listening to you. It's not creating a battle with that voice. It's not telling the voice that it's wrong. It's just simply saying, like, we don't negotiate with terrorists, you know? Mm-hmm. Is that this voice is not love. I'm going to lead with love in the way that I talk to myself. And so that's step number one, right? It's starting to notice the voice and learning how to lovingly, I love you, but I'm not listening.
Right.
Now, the next is to start paying attention to your relationship with food, right? So a lot of people think it's all of, like, losing weight is about what you eat. But I really believe that in addition to what you eat, but even more important than what you eat is how you eat.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm going to be a little more specific about that, because people are like, well, you have to eat, you know, don't eat starch and don't eat this. There's like all these rules about what you should and shouldn't eat, creating rules. And the more rules we create for ourselves and the more restrictions we create for ourselves, the more likely we're going to overindulge and overcompensate and binge and then create this back and forth cycle, because we're not listening to what our body truly is.
Yes. And I think what you're saying is very similar to, like, and French women, the French women diet, where they allow themselves to eat and enjoy the indulgences, and they don't so self-criticize and self-deprecate. Like, they teach themselves they're worthy and they're deserving of the food, and then it doesn't become this battle of, like, binging and overindulging and feeling like crap about it.
Exactly. And I think that it's understanding that it's not you versus food, right? It's that it's, you live inside this body, right? That this body isn't you. It's where your soul is inhabited. Like, when you die, your body will still be here and you won't, right? So whoever you are lives in this body.
That's and right. That's a very Indian philosophy.
Yeah, right? All cultures around here. We'll bring in the French. We'll bring in the Indian. It's all.
Yes. So, the reincarnation and rebirth and, like, yes, your soul isn't just in this physical body.
Exactly, but we often get really attached to this body and we think that it is us, and then we judge, like you said, our worth based on what's happening with this body.
That's so true, and it relates to beauty and ageism as well, because so many girls right now criticize themselves for the way they look and they can't live up to these beauty standards of magazines and media. And, like, they forget that they are not the physical representation of their body. They're that nice person that's in there that's, you know, you're going to change. Your beauty will change and morph in your lifetime. You'll become older. You'll become middle-aged. Your hair will thin. You will get, you know, the aging changes of becoming a grandma, and you'll still be the same beautiful soul.
Exactly. And, I mean, how many times have you met somebody who's gorgeously striking on the outside, and then they open their mouth and you're like, oh,
yeah,
they're not as beautiful on the inside as you are on the outside.
That happens. That happens. And sometimes it's just they don't have confidence. Like, they're so strikingly beautiful on the outside, and yet they feel unworthy in spite of that. So
exactly. Exactly.
It's very, human nature is very interesting like that.
It is. So the process that I use is taking all that into consideration, right? Is understanding that if you come to basic biology, you know, that nature is perfect, right? Nature, things grow at their own pace. There's the storms, there's the tsunamis, there's the, you know, the sunny days. It all balances itself out and it's perfect. And equally so is our physical form. And what we need to do is start learning how to trust in it, because we have mechanisms in our body that tell us when we're hungry, when we're thirsty, when we're full. And if we can really be in touch with those mechanisms, it will tell us what it needs, because our bodies don't want to keep on weight. They don't need to keep on weight. But what happens is we're so disconnected from what our body's telling us and really learning to listen to what the needs are of our body. And we keep trying to think, like, control it, like we can figure it out and not actually listen to it. And that's where we start going awry.
That's very true. And I think one good tip I give my clients is to just, before you put something in your mouth, just really ask yourself, like, am I really hungry? Like, do I have those little growling, you know, noises in my tummy? Is this hunger, or I'm just eating because mentally I feel like it's the right time to eat and I want a coffee break? And it's socially, like, sometimes you're feeding your brain. You're not feeding your tummy.
Exactly. And so that's actually my first step, is like, when you want to put something in your mouth, you ask yourself, is this my stomach that wants it, or is it my mouth?
Yeah.
Right? Your stomach is going to tell you, yes, I'm hungry, I need sustenance. But your mouth might just want the experience, or like you said, the coffee break, or the chocolate, or whatever. And I think the distinction is that neither is right or wrong, right? So if your mouth does want the food and you have distinguished, like, yes, my mouth wants it, it's not my stomach, then you know what? That's okay. But the idea is that if you really pay attention when you're eating, at some point your taste buds aren't as triggered as they were after the first bite.
And that's so sometimes so true. That's so true. That's the 3-bite rule.
Oh yeah,
for me, the 3-bite rule is you can have 3 bites of dessert, because the first bite is like, you know, you just have to have it because it looks so awesome and it's delicious. The second bite is savoring it, and the third bite is, okay, I'm wrapping it up now, I got my 2 little treats and this is it.
And that's interesting. Well, and even beyond the idea of making it a rule, right, is like, if you really pay attention to your tongue, from my experience, at some point, the satisfaction of those first 3 bites is no longer satisfying. And what people end up doing is, to get that satisfaction, they start eating faster, they start taking bigger bites, yeah, so that they can try to get it back. But once you've gone past that 3rd bite, the chances that you're going to experience that 1st bite bliss is very unlikely. So it's knowing your body well enough to know, okay, I'm eating this because my mouth wants it. I'm getting the satisfaction. I'm giving my mouth exactly what it wants. And now my mouth is satisfied and I don't need to eat anymore, because continuing to eat is no longer giving me what my body's asking for, because I can't taste it the way that I
do. That's so true. I bet that there's a threshold where your taste buds kind of get an exhaustion, like they've had enough sensory input and they sort of plateau. And like, I should pay attention to that. I'm totally going to try that trick, because that's the concept of when you go to a buffet, you just get like a few spoons of each thing and then you figure out which thing really rocks your taste bud, and then you go back and stock up on that versus like making a giant mound of everything on your platter, right?
Totally, totally, exactly. And not feeling guilty about it too. I think a lot of people, when you're eating with other people, there's a lot of like commentary, or you're going to just eat that or whatever. And, you know, I was working with a client this past week who was talking about this topic, and she was just saying, you know, when people start asking me, I feel a little defensive and I don't know how to approach it. And I think the more that you realize that you're honoring what your body wants, the easier it is to own it and to say, no, I'm I'm enjoying this flavor, or I'm listening to my body, and this is what my mouth wants, or whatever. But you're not making a rule and a restriction that you have to defend. You're just simply listening to what your body wants, which is easy to defend.
That's so true. Well, how do you think that plastic surgery and body image is related to this concept?
This concept of mindful eating.
Yeah, the concept of, I don't, if you have any advice for my listeners on improving their body image and self-love and confidence, because I just feel that much of the time we feed our brain junk food about beauty and about images that are out there, and we don't really truly analyze like who we are and how what we see is impacting our thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting topic. I know for myself that I've always wanted a nose job, and I've never gotten one. And there was a long time where it was just in my head all the time. And at some point my husband was like, no, you're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting because it was almost like he was making the decision to shut off that part of my brain that was saying that you changing this thing about you is going to make you feel differently about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I mean, I think that the idea of plastic surgery, because you think that you're going to like yourself more as a result, isn't necessarily the best approach, right? That voice in your head is going to find something else. If it's you're not your nose, it's going to be your hair, or then the nose job wasn't perfect, or then it was your stomach, or then it's your underarm. Like, it's the voice is kind of like a Pac-Man, like, not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. And if we keep chasing whatever Pac-Man thinks is not enough and fixing it, it doesn't turn off the voice. And so we need to get more direct with the voice, learn how to soothe the voice, tend to the voice, love the voice, and really access a more, that deeper wisdom and that more loving voice. Then you make decisions from that place within yourself, not the I'm not enough and I need to fix this in order to be enough.
That's a tall order for a lot of patients, but thank goodness that we have stuff like virtual therapy to help us through that. Because you can rationalize and tell yourself like, oh, I hear the bad girl voice talking. I need to ignore that and listen to the good voice. But it's sometimes hard to like still change behavior. Like you can hear the voices, but you have the same behavior.
It definitely is. And I think that in our society, it's particularly challenging. And I think a lot of my generation is raised by mothers who were like, their kids on diets. And, you know, that there's a lot of comfort around restricting and beauty as the value system. So it is definitely hard to get out of it. And it's not a surgery's good, bad, or whatever. It's just figuring out where is it coming from within myself? And am I assuming that doing this thing is going to shut off that voice in my head? Because it doesn't shut off the voice in your head, because the voice just transfers to something else and let's learn how to lovingly address it directly.
Well, Jasmine, I hope that many of our listeners can read your book, which is called Extraordinary You, Master Your Feelings and Master Your Life, and find you on your website. What's your website for all of our listeners out there?
It's jasminetarani.com, JASMIN with no E, Tarani, TERRAN, like Nancy, Y.com, jasminetarani.com.
That's perfect. And I think all of us can benefit from some life therapy, this revolutionary method. It's combining psychotherapy and coaching with some mindfulness and meditation. And I hope you guys will all out there tune into your inner voice and start listening to that voice coach. And if you don't have a good voice coach, you got people like Jasmine out there to give virtual therapy, which is such an interesting concept. But yeah, don't stay home alone. Say that again.
Easier than dealing with traffic.
It's easier than driving to see your therapist. You can pick up your phone and have a virtual therapy session. That's such an interesting concept. I'm sure that it appeals to so many people. And Jasmine, do you have an Instagram where people can follow you as well?
No, I do. I'd love for people to join my Instagram family. It's Jasmine_Tarani. So I can even give it to you and make sure you add it into the...
We can attach that to our web links for this episode. So for those of you who are interested, check it out. Don't forget to get yourself a life coach. Think about these tips every time you go to eat. Think about that voice that's talking to you every day in the morning and make sure it's your positive voice, not your critical, analytical voice that's tearing yourself down. And that's it for now. You guys can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And my website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. And don't forget to try my amazing skincare line there. And that's it for now. I hope you'll stay beautiful, mindful, and take good care of yourselves. Stay beautiful.